Thank you, Heather and Suzanne. Thank you very much. Pray with me again, if we will. And really, the prayer I'd like to say is the song we just sang. Today we're dealing with the Holy Spirit, so bow with me, if you will. We pray, Holy Spirit, for your presence in this place. We pray that you would touch us and that we will leave this place today knowing that we have been touched and we are walking with the living God. And I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Well, last weekend, I don't know if you knew or you remember, we celebrated the 50th anniversary of man's first landing on the moon. Can't hear? Oh, okay. Well, this thing's on. I don't know. Might have to move up here, Richard. I don't know. So anyway, how many of you are old enough to have watched the landing on the moon? You remember that? You remember where you were? Neil Armstrong stepped on the moon. Well, I can't forget it either. And I know exactly where I was. I was at the house of a guy that we called Africa Phil. And, well, it was early evening. I'm not sure. I don't know that. That's 50 years ago. I don't know. Anyway, so I was at the house of Africa Phil, right? And we called him Africa Phil. Not because Phil was from Africa, but because he had a birthmark that was shaped like Africa. So, you know, I remember Phil for two things. One is birthmark, and the other one was that I was at his house when watching the bin land on the moon. So, you know, that's that's what that is. But I was always interested in space and outer space, those type of things, and still am. And how many of you remember the original Star Trek? The original Star Trek with the real Captain Kirk, yeah. You know, but when that came out, if you remember, I mean, that was a big deal, right? I mean, that was like unbelievable stuff. So it just kind of fired up our imaginations. And, of course, nowadays there's so many movies and television shows that depict space. That it, you know, kind of feels like you're in outer space when you're watching them, if you're at the theater or something. But in those days, Star Trek was a big deal. But you know what? That's not reality. It is not reality. And I'm of the belief that we haven't ever been visited by outer space or anything like that. Some of you may, but me, no. That's too far. It doesn't make sense to me. But I want to give you guys a public service announcement here. I heard when I was reading, I think it was on Facebook or somewhere, that they want to storm. Some people want to storm Area 51. And for any of you who are contemplating that, I just want to say that's a bad idea. That's a restricted government area, and they have guns, and they know how to use them. So just for your benefit, if you were planning that, please don't. Okay, we'd like to have you here next Sunday and the Sunday after. So if you were planning on storming Area 51, not a good idea. All right. So anyway, my understanding is this, that the observable universe is 46 billion light years. That's what we can see with our limited abilities and technologies. But scientists estimate that the universe itself is 27 sextillion light years. Now, how many of you know what sextillion? I don't know what sextillion is. What, do you know what sextillion? What is? I don't know what that is. I know one thing though. It's a lot, and it's big. So our universe is obviously huge. It's gigantic and big. But I contend to you that the God that we worship is even bigger than the universe, and He is in it. He's outside it. He's around it. He's through it. He's everywhere. It's just to say that our God is incomprehensible. We cannot comprehend really who God is. And God is immense. He's powerful. He's incredible. And what's even more incredible is this, that this God, this huge, gigantic, incomprehensible God, dwells within us as believers in Jesus Christ. Now, think about that for a second. The God of the universe indwells us. How's that make you feel? That should make you feel pretty good. But it still kind of shows that we are either crazy or that that's the most unbelievable truth that exists. And to me, it's a truth that exists. So, God in the person of the Holy Spirit, as we sang and as we're going to look at today, dwells within us as believers in Jesus Christ. The God of the universe is here with us right now. And we don't always think about that. It's kind of an abstract sometimes, but it's the truth. The Holy Spirit indwells us. And I want to touch on today how we know first that he's here and a few ways that he's working in our lives. And for some of this, I want to give credit to a guy named Joe Thorne. He wrote a book called Experiencing the Trinity. And you should write that down. It's a great book. It's called Experiencing the Trinity. Terrific book about what we've been talking about the last couple of weeks. And I believe that the presence of the Holy Spirit is both profound and it's life-changing. And I want to remind you today that this is the third in a series that we're doing called Imprimis. Imprimis means that which is first. And I named the series that because the first thing you have to get down is who is God. And so that's what we're talking about. We're talking about who is God. And the first week we talked about the immensity and characteristics of God. And last week we talked about the three persons in Scripture who are called God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we touched briefly on who the Father is. So this week we're going to focus on the person of the Holy Spirit. And we're going to be looking at some of the ways that the Holy Spirit affects our lives. And so let's begin this morning with this. The Holy Spirit regenerates. Titus 3, starting with verse 4, says this. But when the kindness of God our Savior and his love for mankind appeared, he saved us, not by works of righteousness that he had done, but according to his mercy through the washing of regeneration and renewal by the Holy Spirit. Now, to regenerate something means this. It means to bring into a renewed existence. And as Christians, it means to give us a new nature, a new existence. We as believers have gone from death to life. And I've told you many times that the world has it backwards. We don't go from life to death. We go from death, separation from God, to life, a relationship with God. And it's an important distinction to have. And this is done by the Holy Spirit's work of regeneration. We go from death to life because of the Holy Spirit's work. It's an instantaneous work. It is an experience that occurs at a specific point in time. In fact, the scripture says, when that happens, we become a new creation. It says that the old is gone, behold the new. It is in fact a change. It is a gift. It is a change of heart. The faith that leads to that gift in itself is given to us by God. This is all a complete work of God, our regeneration. We are made alive by God's Spirit. It is an irrevocable gift. It won't be taken away from you. It is a gift that changes us forever. And with this gift comes a new heart and new lives and a new power that motivates and directs our lives. With this, it's not merely, though, church, a spiritual experience, something that changes our perspectives. It is a transformation of our very souls. You are no longer, when you become a believer in Christ and accept his sacrifice, you are no longer who you once were. To experience this, Jesus said, we must be born again. You see, God grants salvation. And the Spirit of God is the one who gives us the new life. Jesus said, you must be born of the Spirit. It is the Spirit that causes us to be born again. It is a sovereign work of God. It is something that only God can do. Now, we all know people who are not believers in Christ. All of us do. So I ask you this. Pray for the Holy Spirit to regenerate them. Ask the Holy Spirit to do the work that only he can do in their lives. it moves us from wishing people will become believers and walk with Christ to letting the Holy Spirit do His job of regeneration in their lives. Pray that the Holy Spirit would work in their lives. That's how they're going to become believers in Christ. You know, my father became a believer when he was 65 years old. 65. You know, he would say, you know, he was antagonistic toward me for a lot of years. Like, you know, you think you're Moses, you're this, you're that. And I would kind of grin at my dad and go, you know, I'm praying for you. Your wife's praying for you. Your family's praying for you. And at 65 years old, my father came to know Christ and became such a fanatic. He went over to Israel. He got baptized in the Jordan River. So he used to call me a fanatic. I said, I'm not a fanatic. You're going to Israel to be baptized. You know, so it's like you're the fanatic. But it just shows that if you keep praying, if you keep being patient, God will work. And God is working in people's lives. Do not give up on people. And it's the job of the Holy Spirit. It is His job that they come to know Jesus Christ and the many blessings that come with this. So, it's the work of God alone. And the Holy Spirit is the one who regenerates us. And here's a biggie. The Holy Spirit indwells us. John 14:17 says this, "And I will ask the Father, and He will give you another Counselor to be with you forever. He is the Spirit of truth. The world is unable to receive Him because it doesn't see Him or know Him. But you know Him because He remains in you and will be with you." As I mentioned earlier, it's hard to comprehend. It's hard to comprehend that the God of the universe indwells us and is with us right now. And it is true. I concede that we can't contain God. Nothing can really contain God. In fact, compared to the universe, we're pretty small as humans, I think we would all admit. And yet God has chosen to make His home in small, finite, broken, and sinful people. That was God's choice. In other words, He chose to dwell in you and I. There's no need, church, for a temple in Jerusalem. You know, you hear, well, let's rebuild the temple, let's do that. There's no need. You know why? We're God's temple. God has chosen to dwell in us. And I know Pastor Steve, I like how he says it. He says we are God's mobile temples. Because we go everywhere we go, we're bringing God with us. We no longer have to go to one central place. We're God's temple. I think that's profound. The Spirit is closer than we can ever imagine. He is present with us always to enlighten us and to empower us. He is our present help. You need help this morning? The Holy Spirit is here to help you. He is present to enlighten and to empower us. And you as a believer will never be isolated or alone. And all of us admittedly have weaknesses, but we are not left powerless to overcome all of our weaknesses. You see, the immortal, the eternal, and the invisible God is with you and me right now. Church, we are never alone. It may feel like it sometimes, but we are never alone. And the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. Romans 8 says this, "In the same way, the Spirit also helps us in our weakness, because we do not know what to pray for as we should. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with unspoken groanings. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God." Now, I've been a Christian, a believer in Christ, for over 40 years. And one thing that I've learned is that I'm weak. I am weak. And there are areas that, of course, I've grown in spiritually. And there's many areas that I'm still working on. A lot of areas, as a matter of fact. And I've learned that I cannot be or do what God wants me to be on my own. It's impossible. I have to rely on God's grace and on God's strength and on God's wisdom to live, to work, to resist the enemy, to overcome the enemy, and to remain faithful to God Himself. And there are times that I don't even know how to pray. You ever find yourself that, I don't even know what to do, God. I don't know how to pray. And one of the blessings, though, of knowing the Holy Spirit is that none of us ever pray alone. How incredible that is. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us when we don't even know what or how to pray. That's grace. The Holy Spirit appeals to God the Father on our behalf, even if we don't know what we need. The Holy Spirit's prayers are always in perfect accord with God's will. This should give each and every one of us confidence when we pray. You see, church, God hears us. God knows us. His knowledge is not based simply on his omniscience, but on the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit prays for us and with us. With his intercession, God hears our hearts, whether we can express it or not. So every time you go to pray, know this, that the Holy Spirit is there praying with you. I like that. Do you like that? I like that. I'd like to know that. But the Holy Spirit also teaches. Jesus said this, "But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything that I have told you." You see, we as humans, we're limited in knowledge. We are in need of instruction, and we're in need especially of wisdom. But how much more do we have to learn about God? It's more than we're ever going to take in. We are blessed in this church. We are blessed to have a pastor like Steve and a pastor like Pastor Neely and our Sunday school teachers because they all teach very well. But it's the Holy Spirit that teaches us about Jesus and what we need to know about Jesus. We aren't limited to just a few preachers and teachers. It is God's work in all of us. We are all priests. We are all teachers. And we affirm, at least in this church, we affirm that Scripture is the Word of God. It's perfect and authoritative in all matters of faith and practice. We can read it and understand it and receive it, but it isn't always clear to us. Because the Holy Spirit has been given us to teach us, He will make it clear to us. So here's what I ask you to do. Make it a practice to ask the Spirit, to ask the Holy Spirit to teach you when you read the Bible. Before you crack open the Bible, ask, "Holy Spirit, will you teach me? Will you show me? Will you guide me into the truth of God's Word?" Allow and ask the Spirit to apply God's Word to your heart and to those places in life and specific needed places in your life. Ask the Holy Spirit to guide you in Scripture where my answer is to that. And guess what? If you do that, the Holy Spirit will do that. He will guide you and He will teach you the truth. I guarantee it to you that that will happen. And the Spirit will remind us of the words and the work of Jesus. And we need to be listening with the expectation of hearing God. Because we not only need to pray to God, we need to hear from God. We are being taught, church. We are being taught by the Holy Spirit. And listen to that still small voice. The Word says, "Be still and know that I am God." You know, we live in such a hectic, chaotic world. We need to take the time and the opportunity to stop and listen. What are you talking? What are you saying to me, God? What do you want me to know? It's important, church, that we do that. Be still and know that He is God. We need to pay attention. And the Holy Spirit is teaching us the truth of God Himself. And the Holy Spirit sanctifies. 1 Corinthians 6:11 says this, "And some of you used to be like this, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God." Now, to sanctify means to set apart, to declare something holy, and to free one from sin or to purify or to cause one to be morally right or acceptable. Now, a lot of us go through personal reformations. For instance, some of us try to lose weight and not always successfully. Some of us want to read more. Some of us prefer to make better choices with our time. But there's a difference between personal reformation and spiritual transformation. Personal reformation is a choice that sometimes leads to a change in behavior. But spiritual transformation is the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts, and it accomplishes character change. It is a transformation, church, of the soul. You want to change your soul, it's going to be done by the Holy Spirit. And it's sometimes hard to distinguish personal reformation from spiritual growth. And sometimes they're intertwined, obviously. But the Holy Spirit is the one who sanctifies. He progressively develops our faith and godliness in relationship with Jesus Christ. And I've heard, and have you said this before, that I am a work in progress. Who here is a work in progress? There you go. We're all a work in progress. And especially as Christians, we are a work in progress. And as long as we are in this life, we're going to be a work in progress. And I believe that that work of progress, will go through eternity. I think we'll always be a work in progress. Sometimes our progress is slow, and sometimes it's a little more rapid. But often our fight against sin, and this is where the growth comes in, our fight against sin is a failed attempt. The battle leaves many scars and wounds. Would everybody admit that the battle with sin leaves scars and wounds? Of course it does. But remember that the Spirit of God is at work, changing you and growing you. And the transformation does not happen overnight. The Spirit is bringing us closer to Jesus. Many times, we grieve the Spirit with our sin and with our selfish behavior. But always remember this, that the Spirit is patient and the Spirit is persistent. He means to accomplish the work that He has started in us. The Holy Spirit's going to finish what He started. The primary means, though, and remember this, of transformation is the Word of God. If you want to draw closer to Jesus, if you want to overcome sin, if you want to grow in grace, you have to be grounded in God's Word, in the Scripture. I admonish you to stay close to the Word of God, as close as you can. Seek the Spirit's help, and you will be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You renew your mind by God's Word. That is done, and that is the sanctifying work of the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit does it primarily through God's Word. And finally, today, I want to touch on the fact that the Holy Spirit gives gifts. Now, there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different ministries, but the same Lord. And there are different activities, but the same God produces each gift in each person. A manifestation of the Spirit is given to each person for the common good. There's going to be a manifestation of the Spirit in your life if you're a believer in Christ. You know, it's always a treat for me, and I hope it is for you. I never watch, like, the Olympics. They have all these sports that you never watch except when they're on the Olympics, but you know, when you see the gymnastics and you see the skaters, it's unbelievable. I mean, you watch the skill and the talent and the gifts that they have athletically. It's crazy. I mean, some of it you just go, how does a human being even do those things? And it's always a treat for me to see someone who is at the very best at what they do what they do. Whether it's in sports or the arts or someone who's musically talented, I'm always amazed by how gifted they are. And a lot of times, you know, you look at that and you go, geez, I'm kind of average, you know, I could never do that. But I want you to understand this, that the Holy Spirit has given each one of us gifts to use for God's glory and for the good of His church. Now, most of us are far more useful than we think. You know, a lot of us sometimes we think, well, I can't do anything. I'm not that skilled. I'm not that gifted. But the Holy Spirit has gifted you, whether you know it or not. We are created in Christ Jesus for good works. And the Spirit leads us in those works. And he's gifted all of us in particular ways for particular ministries and service. When I was in seminary, I read a book, and there's another book I'm going to recommend to you. It's called Unleashing the Church. And the premise of the book was that we who are to use the gifts and the talents and the abilities that God has given us to bring glory to Jesus and to serve those around us. And one of the examples he uses is there was a mechanic in his church. And this mechanic started off by fixing cars for single moms who couldn't afford their cars to be fixed. So God had given this man an ability to fix cars. It's a gift to me. Any of you? I can't fix cars. I look at my car. When I was a kid, I used to be able to fix cars. But I look at cars now, I shut the hood. I don't even know what I'm looking at. Can't even find the battery hardly now. But the point is that this man was given an ability, a talent, what we would say is a gift. And he used it to create a ministry. And it ended up they had like 40 or 50 mechanics, and they would fix cars and everything all over the city. And that's something that I think is important to understand, that God wants to use those abilities, those gifts and those talents that you have to bring glory, not only to help people, but to bring glory to Jesus. It was the inroad where they could reach a lot of people who wouldn't normally be reached for Christ. So that's what I want to come to. I want to unleash the church is what I'm saying. I want all of you to think about that. So when you say to me, what can I do? I say to you, you can do what God has called you to do, and you can do what God has given you the ability and the gifts and the talents to do. You can help, for instance, with the children's church. You like working with children? There's your ministry. If you have a musical ability, you can help with the worship team. If you have computer skills, you can work with our technical team. Whatever it is that you're good at, whatever it is, God has a place and a use for it. Like I said earlier, you know, you're more helpful than you think. And most of us don't realize that. Whatever it is that you're good at, please, if you have a talent, a gift, and you want to use it for God, come and talk to me. Come and talk to Pastor Steve or to Pastor Neely or to someone else in the church. You know, we'll try and plug you in. We'll start a ministry for you. You know, whatever it is, we will start it. If that's what you're good at, and God has gifted you at that. We as believers in Jesus have received so very much. And much is expected of us. We have to be willing to share our gifts and our talents and our abilities that God has given us. And God has given them to us out of His abundance. And I don't mean financially. We have to be able to use those for God's glory. And the most fruitful form of our giving is more spiritual than financial in nature. If you don't know what your gifts are, come and talk to Steve or myself or Pastor Neely, or ask people in the church how they perceive your gifts and your talents. We are right now, for instance, and this is sort of a advertisement, we are trying to recruit people for a greeting team. We want to begin a greeting team. And if that's something you would like to do or want to do, please come and talk to me or to one of our deacons, Roy, Camille, or Mike, because they're going to be heading all that up. And guess what, church? Even as small as our church is, we're going to build the best greeting team of any church in Rockland. I guarantee you that. We're going to do it. And it's not for our glory or any other glory. It's for what? For the glory of God. And we want to use, if you're good at talking to people and laughing and smiling and greeting, I just admonish you, come, be part of the greeting team. Use that gift. Use that gift for God and for His church. So that's just an example. So what I'm saying is don't hoard your gifts. Use them. Put them out there. God expects us to distribute our gifts freely, and we should be giving them away freely. That's what I'm telling you. So what we've talked about this morning, this isn't an exhaustive list of what the Holy Spirit does. There is so much, so much, much, much more. We could be here for hours, and it's a hot day, and you guys would probably be sleeping on the pews and all that stuff. So some of you might be now, I don't know. But the point is this. We're just scratching the surface of the Holy Spirit. I hope this inspires you to look into, to pray about, and to want to know more about this God who indwells you. Because you know what? God is calling you to greater things. He is here to exhort us and to bring glory to God. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. And He is here to help us serve in our church and our community in greater ways. And I want you to take this challenge. I want you to ask yourself and ask the Holy Spirit how you can serve God in a deeper and more productive way. The Holy Spirit, I guarantee you, will answer that prayer. And you will not only benefit this church, but you'll benefit this community, especially those who don't know Christ. Because when people who don't know Jesus see the God of the universe indwelling in you and being projected from you, they'll be changed. They will notice. I guarantee you, they will notice. So that is who God, partially at least, the Holy Spirit is. And that's what we're trying to learn. Who is God? Pray with me this morning, church. Holy Spirit, as we sang and asked this morning, we pray for your presence here. And I pray that each one that is here would understand that you are here with us, that you are present and you are our ever-present help. And so, Lord, as we go through this coming week, I pray that we would begin each morning or each time that we open Scripture, asking you to enlighten us, God, asking you to teach us, Holy Spirit, and asking you to apply the truths of the Scripture to our lives so that we would better serve God and our church and our community. So come here and be with us, Holy Spirit. I pray in Christ's name. Amen.